as always happens, I don't need to preach at all because God reiterates everything that is to be said in the worship and just in the Holy Spirit. Great, he kind of does all the jobs and sorts it all out. And how Jesus needs to be the centre. Not man, Jesus needs to be centre. Not us, Jesus and his Holy Spirit and his power. And isn't it wonderful? It's good. It's good. So we're back to Corinthians. And it was quite X-rated last week a little bit about this church. If you move the slides, Jeff, for me, we're looking at a letter written to these people, guys who lived in Corinth in the bottom of Greece, where it was considerably warmer than it is today, I'm sure. And where were they? They were sailors. This city was packed with sailors, yuppies, and it was a crazy place. A crazy, crazy place. And this church was planted by Paul in fear and trembling, and he went into a synagogue and got kicked out of a synagogue and then bought a house next door and started a church there and did all sorts of crazy things. And the sin and the vice in this city was incredible. It was the worst. It was sin city, was Corinth. We'll not get all into it, what we were talking about last week. And anyway, so Paul had come to this church and he planted it in fear and trembling. And it was a real testament to what God can do despite how Paul felt. He was depressed, he was struggling, he'd been beaten, he'd been locked up, and God still worked in this place of Corinth, and the church grew, and it grew, and it must have touched Paul's heart. And then Paul goes and travels different places and plants some more churches, and then he gets a letter from Chloe's people saying what was happening in this church. And it was crazy what was happening in this church. The worst things. People at communion, this is just one of them, were getting drunk. It's just one of the many, 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 many things that was happening at this church. And I personally would have blasted that church to kingdom come if I was God. I wouldn't have even called it a church. It sounds more like a rave or a party, or it sounded awful. Absolutely awful. But Paul writes this letter to them. Move to the next slide, Jeff. We had a long debate about who could see this. Yeah, at the prayer meeting on Sunday. I still don't know what it is. But actually, we were saying that Paul gave thanks for this church with its many, many, many problems. Why? Because of the grace of God. And we're saying that Paul looked at things through the magic eye of God's grace and God's mercy. Into the most hopeless situations, the most messed up people, the worst, he saw it through the eyes of God's grace. Because God can do anything. Anything. Have you this week looked at situations, disappointments, people through the magic eye of God's grace, like Paul did to this church? So that's what we were talking about last week. So some of you wanted to know what happened at the end of the story. Well, it does end well, but we're going to look at what, in more detail, what were some of the problems in this church. So Paul received this letter, and the first problem that the Corinthian church struggled with was spiritual pride, which I struggle with badly sometimes, and trusting in man and men and not Jesus. They didn't have Jesus at the centre. That was the main problem. The main problem for them. So I'm going to turn to chapter 1. I'm going back to verse 1. I hope you read 1, 2, and 3. Doesn't matter if you didn't. But we'll start off with Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what Paul was saying in this letter. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household had told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I am a follower of Apollos. Or I follow Peter. Or I only follow Christ. The church had divided into factions, and they were quarrelling about following different people. Go to the next slide. We're going to play a little game, a little bit of action. Next slide. If you wonder what Pete was doing, can you see that? This is Mr. Pete McCombs. Now, the moral of this story, the biblical lesson, is watch the photographs you put on Facebook, because your mean pastor might nick them and use them. I did check with him. It was all right. But actually, Pete is the leader of one of our house groups, growth groups. So stand up if you go to Pete's growth group. Now, at Pete's growth group, they value pastoral praying for each other, don't you? You love it. You really, really look after each other and pray for each other. And Pete is brilliant. Pete can't do anything wrong apart from look like Spock. Yeah? But Pete is a great guy. Really, he will always cook. He'll get Margie to cook your food. Really pastoral. Yeah? Right, you can sit down. It's all right. So you're one faction. What about the other faction? Next slide. I was nicer to Pete and Beth. Now, Pete and Beth, they're the lovely young people, yeah? And they love barbecues, don't they? Love having barbecues, and it's really order. Do you do the 4 W's? Yeah, Pete keeps good order. Pete does good order, yeah? But anyway, so they're really good. They're the up-and-coming people. Actually, I'm going to make you stand up. Who goes to Pete's growth group? Yeah, you're another faction in the church. What these guys do, it's different to you. And these guys must be wrong. And you are right. The way you love barbecues, not about prayer. Right, the next slide. Oh, here he is. Stand up, Mr. Silvanus. Now, at Mr. Silvanus's house, we don't do any of the namby-pamby pastoral stuff. We don't do any of the eating at all. We look at the Bible. We're men of the word, aren't we, Silvanus? Yeah, we open that Bible and we're not interested in anything else at all. All these guys, Pete McCombs and old Pete, they're all heretics, aren't they, Silvanus? Next one, next slide. So stand up if you go to the daytime growth group. We're not interested in any of that lot. We're interested in cake and nice tea. And if we don't provide cake and nice tea, we're not coming. All you guys praying for each other, garbage. Barbecues and fun, what is that? The Bible, we might open it sometimes. Yeah, but all you lot are heretics. Yeah? Next slide. Oh, there isn't a next slide. So some of you don't even go to a house group. We're too godly for that. We just stay at home and we watch ourselves, and all these lot are all wrong. Imagine this church split up into growth groups. Yeah, now you're all different. You all do it differently. Yeah? And it's so easy to say you guys are wrong. On you guys are right, you guys are right, you guys are wrong, you guys are wrong, whatever. But that was what's happening in this church. There were factions growing up in the Corinthian church. But what was happening, what factions were there in this church? Well, they list the names of three good guys: Paul, Apollos, Peter. And they even list a really, really good guy. Jesus is one of the factions. What was happening in Corinth? Well, the Paul faction, they had great allegiance to Paul in the Corinthian church. Paul had been the one who founded the church. He'd been the one that nurtured the church. He was the guy who sent them letters, could discipline them. They look to the old pastor. The old pastor who sorted them out, who they had a connection with. Yeah, and actually, Paul as well, he'd been preaching to the Gentiles, and actually there would have been a faction that we're free. He's been preaching, we're free in Christ. The old has gone, so he would have emphasised Christian freedom with this Paul faction. And everybody else was wrong. And then Apollos. Well, Apollos had come into the church, a brilliant guy. Really, really clever. So if Saul had gone to Tarsus University, which was a good university in the Roman world, Apollos had gone to Alexandria University in Egypt. He was educated. He knew the Hebrew scriptures inside out. And not only that, he was an eloquent speaker. So he, when he spoke, people listened. He was an academic. So you imagine Andrew Wilson, those that are devoted, yeah? He was that kind of guy, clever guy. So really, if we want to follow and be a Christian, what we need to do is be academic. We need to be eloquent. We need to be well-read. We need to be cerebral. That's the way that you do it. Or Peter. Peter had come into the church. And he was a doer. He was a proper blokey bloke. He was a fisherman. He didn't mess around with reading books. He just got out there and evangelised and did it, didn't he? Yeah, none of this rubbish about learning or studying or whatever. He cracked on and he preached the word. He was a doer. But the problem was as well, there were issues with Peter. If you read Acts chapter 15, he'd been touched by law and the temptation of obeying the Jewish law. And his followers would have seen that. It's interesting how the different factions, these move into the church today, don't they? Yeah. And then there was the Christ party. The guys who were the Christ faction, they surely were in the right. But actually, often you get people who aren't under any authority. I don't listen to anybody else. They're just so holy. We're so right. We won't listen to any counsel at all about anything. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to do this. We don't, because we've got Christ and we are right. There's a spiritual kind of like, you know, what's the word? Spiritual pride sometimes. Yeah, and that could have crept into that party. Yeah, now all these things are, there's good. There's good in them. Yeah, these are strengths. We need Andrew Wilsons. We need guys like that. But they were all falling out about it, all in the church. If you weren't doing what we're doing, you are wrong. What is Paul's response to it? He says, chapter 1, I love Paul, he's a real sarcastic individual. He uses real sarcasm sometimes. He says, has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. Of course not. Paul comes at it by pointing to Christ and the crucifixion, the cross. Was I, Paul, crucified for you? See, what this church were doing, they were focusing on the men, on the people, and they were not keeping their eyes on the crucified Christ and risen Christ. Which was the message of Jesus crucified? Was the message that appealed to this church in the first place? They were saved. They owed their brand new life to Jesus, to the power of the cross. It was to Jesus and the cross that they brought their sins and cares. It was to Jesus who had died for their sins, who brought them forgiveness and cleansing. And he said, were any of you baptized into the name of Paul? So in the old world, if you were baptized into something, it means you signed authority of yourself over to them. So he was effectively saying, have you been put under the total authority? Have you given yourself to Paul? Of course not. You've been baptized into the name of Jesus. And these guys have been baptized into the name of Jesus. He says, for God, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for the fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. When you follow men, there's a chance that the power of the cross is diminished. That was their problem. Spiritual, so they got pride for following men. Are you following people? Yeah, have you taken your eyes off Jesus? It's so easy. So I do it all the time. I used to love a guy called David Pawson. And really, what used to happen is everything that David Pawson said, I agree with. He wasn't right. I took my eyes off Jesus. It's so easy. In different churches, we'll say sometimes, Hillsong, great church. Let's do it the Hillsong way. Excellence is important. Or Cell Church is important. We need to do it Cell. That's the right way to do it. Or seeker-friendly church. So Bethel, Power of the Holy Spirit. Alpha, St. Nicky Gumbel. Let's follow him. Terry Virgo, Catalyst. Anglicans, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. Are they important? But it's following Christ. And there isn't a problem. All those strengths. So the Anglicans are great. The Methodists are great. All these guys are great. They have strengths. Pete's growth group is great. Pete McCombs' growth group is great. Sylvanus. All have their strengths. But it's when we start quarrelling about it and putting our faith in them, not Jesus. And that was the problem. That was the problem. And where does Paul direct them? Back to Jesus. And you'll hear later in this letter about the body. Yeah, we're all important in the body. But we all work in the church for Jesus. You all know this, don't you? And the cross and the power. So important as a church that we keep our eyes on Jesus and we don't link ourselves to men. And people do have different ways of doing things, yeah? But actually, it's all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. That Jesus and the cross does not lose its power. Its power. The next thing he was talking about was the message. He says in chapter 1, verse 18, is the message of the cross is foolishness to those headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. If you continue reading, Paul talks about two sets of people. He's actually talking to people who don't believe in Jesus. Yeah, these men. Yeah, and there was two sets of people who were unbelievers and resist Jesus. The first ones are Jews. People, and the people like Jews nowadays, and what they want, they say, Jesus, we want a sign. We want you to prove that Jesus exists. So why doesn't Jesus go into hospitals and just heal everybody? Or why is there suffering today? Jesus should sort it out. Yeah? Remember, in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees wanted a sign that of Jesus' power and authority. And Jesus said, I will give you the sign of Jonah. Yeah? So people who are struggling want a sign for Jesus, non-believers. Other people are Greeks, and they want to understand Christianity. Yeah, and they just say, want to understand through human logic. That's their objections to Christianity. So evidence and human logic. Do you know what? If you don't believe in Jesus, Christianity is the stupidest thing, logically, you could ever do. It sounds terrible, but it is the stupidest thing. If there is no Jesus, it's just stupid. So, move the next slide up. This guy is Friedrich Nietzsche. Who's heard of Nietzsche? He was a philosopher. He's the guy behind Nazism, really, I have to say, the Third Reich. And he says, basically, survival of the fittest, fill your boots, enjoy yourself, Übermensch, the powerful rule the weak. And actually, without Jesus, I agree with him. I think it makes perfect sense, to be quite honest. That's the logic of the world. Perfect sense without Jesus. Power, survival of the fittest, war. So if there is no Jesus, why would you love others? Why would you do good? Why would you live right? Why would you submit to Jesus? Or anything. And a God sending his son to die on a cross, in man's logic, is complete and utter stupidity. Don't make any logical sense. But it does. But it doesn't. So without the touch of Christ, it doesn't make any logical sense. Not held up by man's logic. Who likes listen to Radio 4? Who listens to I'm very boring. No, Radio 5. Any radio. But who watches Question Times sometimes? You ever watch that as well? Do you know what? The politicians, none of them have any of the answers at all. I don't think. They just go round and round in a circle. Radio 4, I listen to over and over again about Brexit and about the greatest philosophers through mankind's logic have no answers to any of the questions without Jesus. Do you know what? Jeremy Corbyn doesn't have any answers to any real questions. Neither does Theresa May. Neither does Donald Trump. And neither does, heartbreakingly, Barack Obama. They don't have any questions to where we're from, why are we here, what is the world about. I was converted by an atheist. Do you know, if you read Plato and the old Greek philosophers, they don't have any answers to any of the questions. The smartest people don't have any of the answers to any of the questions. Why? Because it's the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. Don't look to man's wisdom, look to God's wisdom. And that's what the Corinthian church was doing. If you want the answers to your questions, come to Jesus. Because men on their own will not have the answers. Spiritual pride. And he says, when I came to you, I came to, not with clever words and eloquence, this is Paul. Or impressive wisdom. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit in his speaking. So often, you can spend ages on your preach, And the more you preach, the more you realise it's often the things that you don't think about that hit people and God uses and touches. And that's because it's not our cleverness. It's not the preacher's cleverness. And all the things that we do, it's not our cleverness. It's the power of God's Holy Spirit that changes people. Don't look to people's cleverness. Look to God's Holy Spirit, because God's wisdom is wiser, and God is the power. His presence is the power of God. And finally, chapter 3, I've moved on a lot, and I've cut a lot, but again, people were basically saying, so look how well that Paul serves, isn't he great? Look how well Apollos serves, isn't he great? Look at, you know, we're all in, this church is Paul's or this church is Apollos's. And Paul says, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your heart and Apollos watered it, but it was God who grew it. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes a seed grow. The one who plants, the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. So many of you sat there, serve the church. Yeah, you saw whether you've been on the door, in the children's work, at the back, in worship. But we're not to look to you. You're servants of God. You're sowing seeds for the kingdom. When you go outside, when you make somebody a brew who's mourning, you're sowing a seed for the kingdom of God. Yeah, you're a servant. What's not important is what you do. It's, are you obedient and faithful? Are you sowing seeds for the kingdom of God? And people who serve God, we must look up to them in a way. Because it's God who does the work. Yeah, when you love, show grace, it's Jesus who does the work. It's Jesus and the power of the cross. So what was, my apologies, it's been very cerebral this morning. Yeah, but what's Paul saying? Yeah, he's saying, don't look to men. Look to Jesus and the power of the cross. Yeah, don't look to men's wisdom. Because they can argue all day, they won't have any of the answers to any of the questions without Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't look to great men of God and support them. They're fantastic. We're blessed by great servants of God in history and here today. Don't look to them. Don't factionalize. They're servants sowing seeds. It's God who makes things grow. It's God who makes the church grow. It's God that moves the kingdom. We have the privilege of being the servants to sow the seeds. It's God. It's Jesus. Are you looking to men and the wisdom of men? Or are you looking to Jesus and his word? Do you use your own power? Or do you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit for holiness, for repentance, for grace, to forgive people that don't deserve forgiving? Or do you look to yourself and men? I'm so thankful that we have God and we look to Jesus, not people. Amen. So Lord Jesus, we thank you, we can look to Jesus. You are our center. You are our guide. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Be our fire. Lord, protect us from spiritual pride and preferring men and following men and not you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that it is a kingdom where we get to sow seeds. And it's not advanced by great men on their own, Lord Jesus, but by your power and your Holy Spirit. Lord, you work in people's lives. Your Spirit moves people, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the power of the cross. It is the cross and you crucified and risen again that unites us as a church, Lord. Which is how we thank you there is one baptism, one cross, one communion that joins us as a people, Lord. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from quarrels. Protect us from factionalism, wherever it may arise. And we just thank you for the diversity and the gifts in your church, Lord Jesus. And we give you real glory and real honour for that. Amen.